should be trying. August 8th is a beautiful day. Like waking up from a real thing. Hello, hello, welcome everyone, one and all. It's April 8th, 2021, and that means... And that means it's a weekday, and it also means that it is 1900 UTC, time for news to me. Thank you for being here. So let's go ahead and get started. There's a lot of news that we can use. Hopefully this will be a little more lively than yesterday. Sorry, that was a little dreary. All right, well, let's start the way we all... Day, I see a bunch of hippies crying. Yeah, August 8th is a beautiful day. Like waking up from a real bad dream. Suddenly everything is okay. The storm is past, the sun is shining. Yeah, August 8th is a beautiful day. What's going on? What's going on? There's something bumming your scene. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. I'm not sure.
Ice casting on and on radio. .net. Port 7070.
Anon Radio.
This is Harry Larry inviting you to enjoy Something Blue every Friday at 2000 hours UDT. Something Blue features blues, jazz, and other American roots music as played in the Delta and around the world. For more about the show, visit the Something Blue website at sbblues.com. Don't miss Something Blue, Fridays at 2000 hours UDT. Streaming at...
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Oh, yes, folks. Welcome, welcome. It is August the 9th, 2023, 1903 UTC here. Beautiful Austin, Texas. Pretty clear, mostly clear. I can see one, two, three small clouds. Oh, look, I can see a plane if I look. I'm on the wrong side of the roof, but I can see a plane flying off to the north if I look hard enough. Anyway, making my way across the roof. It's a little bright, so it's hard to see. But we're gonna get there to the shady spot. I don't have the temperature because I forgot my watch this morning. I actually got up early to try and ride the bus, but then I fell asleep. I was like, oh, I need to pull up my podcast. And so I jumped across the bed to get my phone, and I pulled up the podcast, and once I hit play, I just conked out and fell back asleep. So I'm in a rush. I forgot my watch. And it looks like our friends, the security guards, the reason they haven't been bothering us, they hang out on the other garage. And see the other parking garage from here. And I can see their lights. All right, we've made it to the shade. It's not... It's a little cooler. I hope the breeze picks up. That would... That'll be the real winner. Well, you hear me talking, you know it's live, but how do you interact? How do we participate in the show? That's one of the things that makes Anon Radio a lot of fun, and something that people come back for, I think. So all you need to do is fire up your Jabber client. What? Oh no, I don't want it. Jabber? Is this the 90s? What's happening? No. I kid. You don't have to, but if you would like, you can join the public group chat over there in Jabber. All you got to do is connect to... You ready for this? I don't want to create a channel. I want to join a group chat. There we go. All you got to do is join Anon Radio at conference.jabber.sdf.org. I know that's a lot of things, but that's because there's four things there. conference.jabber.sdf.org. And the room is Anon Radio at, there's also Help Desk at, which has four people, and SDF at. Those are the three main rooms that have people. So once we join in, bam, just like that. Here I am. So, yeah. Howdy. All right, that's not the only way to do it. Sorry, I was just trying to get connected. As you can see, XMPP, or Jabber, does take a little bit more effort, but that's kind of the fun of it. It takes a little effort, but then you get to have some cool fun with it. You can also SSH over to tty.sdf.org. That's tangotangoyankee.sdf.org. And once you're there, you just go ahead and launch com, C-O-M, and you press G for go to, and type a non-radio, all lowercase, all one word. And once you do that, you'll be brought on into the Anon Radio room. Let's go ahead and do that. Bunk, bunk, bunk. Boom. Just like that, you're hanging out with the cool people. Like F-Fog and Quentin and Claudio M. And Overland, who's in the house. Tobe, clicking around. As well as the Z-Man, Zoroff, and me. So welcome, welcome, one and all. It's an adventure time today. We've got lots of news. Plenty of death and destruction. Oh, a pig just drove by. Wonder what they're up to. So anyway, let's pull up our news. Blink, blink. Bookmarks, desktop, bookmarks menu. What do you know? News to me, today is August 9th. Oh yeah, and that song we were listening to, that's August 8th by NoFX. It's a song about the day that Jimmy Garcia died. I think he actually died on the 7th, and then people found out on the 8th, or that he died on the 8th. But I always call it August. I always celebrate it on August 9th because I feel like back then you didn't hear about things the day they happened. You heard about them the day after. So anyway, I always remember Jerry Garcia and what he and him back around then. All right. Oh, and X1's in the house. Hello, hello. And the Mad Hatter. Y'all are all just in time. And X1, welcome, welcome. I am live. Live right now. SOH, in it is rock. Got it? right on, right on. All right. So, let's get into it. There's plenty of news to talk about. We got to get into it. At least 27 people found dead in the desert after expulsion from Tunisia in Libya. Oh, shucks. I said Nigeria earlier. Darn it. He was fine. He didn't even correct me. There's a guy that I know at work who's from Tunisia. And we were talking about the expulsions of people. And I mentioned, oh, yeah, they found a bunch of people dead in the desert over there with the border with... what is that, Nigeria? And he was like, okay, yeah, sure. And it's like, oh, my bad. I'm terrible at geography. I gotta learn them, my countries. Anyway, Libya. Libyan border guards say about 150 refugees and migrants crossed into Libya every day. At least 27 people from sub-Saharan Africa have died in recent days after being expelled from Tunisia towards the Libyan border and abandoned in the desert in relentless heat. Libyan border guards found the bodies in the desert in a vast area to the south of the northern crossing. So it's extremely hot. It's at least 40 degrees or 104 degrees Fahrenheit. Libyan border guards and rights groups accused Tunisia of expelling refugees and migrants across the frontier into a featureless wilderness far from towns or villages in the height of summer as part of a crackdown, which Human Rights Watch said amounted to collective expulsions. So yeah, it's pretty terrible. The videos that come out of this are never pretty. So yeah, lots of death. Lots of people dying in kind of one of the sadder, more horrible ways to die. Starving to death or dying of thirst in the desert. We're still in Africa with this one. This is just some destruction. Wild lion population dwindling. 90% have disappeared from historical habitat. The majestic lions of Kenya's national parks are a species living on the edge of diminishing ecosystems, locked in a conflict with humans, whilst also threatened by wildfires and climate change. Humans and lions are engaged in a battle for resources. The killing of 10 lions in 1 week in May this year at Kenya's Amboseli National Park once again highlighted an increase in human-wildlife conflict. In some areas of Kenya, lion populations overlap with human settlements and livestock grazing areas, leading to negative interactions and conflicts, the result in economic losses, threats to human life, and conservation challenges. The building of infrastructure has also worsened the problem. So, according to the International Fund for Animal Welfare, the recent drought witnessed in Kenya led to the deaths of thousands of wildlife. The drought was described as the worst in 40 years and was marked by minimal rainfall. About 6,093 animals were lost between June and November last year. So, yeah, it's tough to be an animal out there. Dangerous times indeed. All right. So those are kind of like, oh, people died, but not in an exciting way. Let's talk about some exciting deaths. These are smaller body counts, though. And these stories, these next group of stories, they're all about Texans, which I thought was kind of funny. Busy day for Texans to die. A Texas hiker was found dead in Utah. They'd planned to scatter their father's ashes on a mountain. Body of Jimi Hendrix, not that Jimi Hendrix, but body of Jimi Hendrix, 66, from Austin, Texas, was found after he announced on Facebook his plan to hike in Arches National Park. Texas man was found dead while hiking in Utah. He was on the way to scatter his late father's ashes, according to family members. Jimi Hendrix, 66, left his Austin home in mid-July for Nevada, where he planned to scatter the ashes on a mountain. Along the way, he made stops at Guadalupe Peak in Texas and the Grand Canyon. Hendrix likely died due to a combination of heat, high altitude, and dehydration. In a Facebook post chronicling his journey carrying his father's ashes, Hendrix announced he was going to hike in Arches National Park in Moab, Utah, in the early morning of July 29th. In the post, Hendrix wrote, "I cruised east today on the beautifully engineered Interstate 70 towards Moab. As I crested high mountain passes and crossed harsh but beautiful deserts, I was put in mind of a certain line from Woody Guthrie's song, Pastures of Plenty, and your deserts were hot and your mountains were cold." On August 1st, workers at the motel in which Hendrix was staying reported him missing. He was found dead that same day near the Sand Dune Arch Trail, a triple 30-minute hike park officials grade as easy. In a statement, the National Park Service said park rangers located the individual's vehicle at the parking lot and initiated a search. He was found deceased off-trail nearby. If you're going to go hiking to scatter ashes, don't end up dead yourself. Be careful out there. It's kind of wild that his name is Exiting Death is Only for Commercial News. X1 always got the good points. Texas woman was injured after a hawk dropped a snake on her. That's pretty wild, right? That's kind of fun. This is something that could happen to a taube if he's not careful of where the owls are flying. A Texas woman was attacked by a hawk and a snake at the same time after the bird, which eats snakes, accidentally dropped the wriggling serpent on her. Peggy Jones, 64, was mowing her lawn last month when a passing hawk dropped a snake on her before swooping down to angrily try to reclaim its meal. The snake wrapped itself around her arm and began striking her face as the bird sunk its talons deep into her flesh. The terrifying ordeal left her with cuts and bruising to her arm and face. The bizarre incident took place on July 25th in the town of Silsbee, Texas, near the Louisiana border. The snake fell out of the sky, and before she could remove the snake, the hawk attack began. I was trying to sling my arm and sling the snake off. The snake wrapped around my arm, she told CBS News. The snake was striking in my face. It struck my glasses a couple times. I was slinging and slinging. He was striking and striking, and he just kept hanging on. If you're outside, be wary of what's above you. You could end up getting a hawk dropped on, or a snake dropped on you. Which I think is pretty wild. And finally, another death. Texas woman arrested after bodies of 24 dogs and 12 horses found on property. A woman in Texas was arrested last week after landscapers alerted police to dozens of dead animals they found on her ranch. She was 22 years old and arrested on Friday and charged with one count of cruelty to non-livestock animal and one count of cruelty to livestock animals. Police reportedly found the body of 12 horses and 24 dogs on her property. So, that's sad, but nonetheless. Alrighty. Ugh. We're still making it. It's 15 minutes after the hour, 1915 UTC, right here on Anon Radio, which means we're 15 minutes away from the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, a fun show that airs every goddamn day right here at 1930 UTC. Tobe goes on adventures. Sometimes we go out into the wilderness. Sometimes we play with synthesizers. It's always an adventure, and it's always fun. Sometimes Pippa shows up. Pippa is the cat, and is a cat and the sergeant at arms of the committee. So yeah, check it out. It will be here for you in just 14 minutes or so from now. All right. So if you're in Ireland, whoops, the police service of Northern Ireland has apologized for mistakenly revealing details of all 10,000 staff members. The Northern Irish Police Federation said the breach could cause incalculable damage. In response to a Freedom of Information request, the PSNI had shared names of all police and civilian personnel, where they were based, and their roles. The details were then published online before being removed. Apologizing to officers, Assistant Chief Constable Chris Todd said the error was unacceptable. We operate in an environment at the moment where there is a severe threat to our colleagues from Northern Ireland-related terrorism, and this is the last thing anybody in the organization wants to be hearing this evening. I owe it to all my colleagues to investigate this thoroughly, and we've initiated that. Northern Ireland police have been the targets of Republican paramilitaries. The last attack was in February. The threat to officers means that they must be extremely vigilant about their security. Many, especially from nationalist communities, keep their employment secret, in some cases, even from many family members. The Freedom of Information request had asked the PSNI for a breakdown of all staff rank and grades, but as well as releasing a table containing the number of people holding positions, the PSNI included a spreadsheet, and it contained the surnames of more than 10,000 individuals, their initials, and other data. It appears to cover everyone from the PSNI, from Chief Constable Simon Byrne down. It didn't include private addresses. So, this sounds like somebody pulled a report to get all the people in their ranks, put it into Excel, and then made a pivot table, and then sent the whole Excel spreadsheet instead of just sending a picture of the pivot table, which stinks for them. We'll see what happens. If there's any increase in violence against those people, I'm as against the police as anybody, though. So, hey, maybe that'll get us to have fewer police. Two Republic of Singapore Air Force, or RSAF, F-16 fighter jets were scrambled on Wednesday afternoon after a Malaysia-registered helicopter flew over the Singapore Strait east of Chiang Mai Airport. The Ministry of Defense and Civil Aviation Authority of Singapore said in a joint statement that the warplanes were scrambled at 12:40 p.m. After ensuring that air security was not compromised, the F-16s were subsequently stood down. The preliminary checks indicate that the helicopter is of a civilian type and registered to a foreign company. Operations at Chiang Mai Airport were affected between 12:50 and 1:28 p.m. as a result, with 9 arrival flights and 11 outbound flights delayed. Ministry of Defense and the Civilian Aircraft Authority were responding to a query from the Straits Times after social media platform X user Alert5 posted at 1:10 p.m. about Singapore scrambling F-16 planes. They posted a screen grab from flight tracking site Flight Radar 24, which showed part of the helicopter's flight path as well as its registration, 9 Mike Charlie Golf Alpha, 9MCGA. Other people posted online about it too, and the helicopter, which had been flying at an altitude of 700 to 1200 feet, dropped as low as 400 feet while circling the area for about 20 minutes before heading northeast and landed near the Bayou de Mai police station. According to flight tracking sites, the helicopter took a 37-minute flight at 3:08 before it flew back to Senai over the Malaysian Peninsula. And that's all they wrote. So who knows why this helicopter was floating around, but it did go and land at a police station. So at least the local authority, the local police know what's going on, I'd imagine. Whew. Lesson here. Excel pivot tables kill. Bah, bah, bah. Yeah, X1, I agree. It's probably stupidity. Probably being dumb about taking care of your horses. I was talking to somebody here at work, and they have some horses here in Texas where it's been 104 all week. And essentially the takeaway I got was it's been so hot that the horses go through their feed and water faster, And so instead of going like every other day or once or twice a week, they're needing to go every day, and they can't do that and go get to work on time. So now they're hoping that their kids are doing or watering the horses, but they can't check in on them except once a week. So, oh man, that's just awful, terrible way to treat an animal if they're like that. Anyway, yeah, and Quentin knows the lesson here from our friends in Northern Ireland. Pivot tables, they're deadly. The deadly office experience. The boy who shot his teacher, the six-year-old, he boasted about the indictment, saying, "I shot her dead." While being restrained after the shooting at a Virginia school, the boy is said to have admitted, "I did it. I got my mom's gun last night." His teacher, Abby Zwerner, who survived, filed a $40 million lawsuit earlier this year. The boy hasn't been charged. The boy's mother, however, has been charged with felony child neglect and misdemeanor reckless leaving a loaded firearm. In June, she was also charged with unlawfully using a controlled substance while in possession of a firearm and making a false statement during the purchase of a firearm. She'll be sentenced in October and could face up to 25 years in prison. Using his mother's gun, the boy shot his first grade teacher in the hand and chest on January 6th. So that's the news, or that's an update there. I didn't know when she was going to get sentenced. And it's also kind of wild that the kid is just like boasting about it. Hawaii is on fire. If you didn't know, most of the world is on fire. A lot of the United States is catching on fire if it's not underwater. Climate change is real. We didn't want to believe it, but climate change is real. Local media reported apocalyptic scenes in Lahaina, parts of which were destroyed or severely damaged by the blaze. An unknown number of residents have been treated for burn injuries and smoke inhalation. The fire is one of at least seven ongoing in Hawaii. The Associated Press reported the number of burn victims were flown to hospitals on the island of Oahu, where the capital is located. The injured included at least one woman in her 60s who was in critical condition in a local burn unit. People are having to flee the blazes, and they're just running out into the ocean. So, yeah, they're running into the ocean out there. So, yeah, that's extra bad. Oh, no. I've colonized this island, but my million-dollar house is on fire. I've got to run. Oh, I don't have anywhere to run. I'll have to run into the ocean. I don't know. Hawaii is one of those terrible things the United States has done, and it makes me mad. The fact people go there for holidays and vacations, it just is like, it's so upsetting. It's like, I don't know. It's just terrible. Anyway, don't go to Hawaii. There's no ethical way to visit Hawaii. What else is there? Man, we've got too much news. Only 7 minutes to go. So I'm just going to give you a few headlines. A woman in British Columbia is buried by Amazon packages. She keeps getting packages shipped COD back to her address. She never gave anybody her address, but UPS keeps delivering packages to her house. She owes the company at least $300, or is being billed at least $300, but they're all Amazon packages. And people are going to return their packages in Canada, and they're being given her address instead of the Amazon warehouse. Amazon doesn't want the packages. She doesn't want the packages. UPS just wants to get paid, and they're showing up at her house. So no word yet on what the resolution will be. Yeah, she's very sad about that. And I thought that was kind of a wild-ass story. All right, let's get into space. Launch into space. We got a few stories here from the outer rims. Earth was hit by a powerful X1 solar flare after fears of a cannibal blast. A cannibal blast is when two solar flares or emissions are on their way towards Earth, and one catches up with another, and then they kind of merge together. So what happened? Well, the Earth nearly avoided being hit by a giant solar flare, but has been lashed by powerful enough blasts to disrupt communications. In recent days, space forecasters had warned that the Earth could be hit by a range of powerful flares that have been ejected from the sun. The latest flare appears to have missed Earth. However, forecasts had suggested it was only expected to glance the planet, and so a miss was likely. The Earth was struck by a Class X flare, however. It's the most potent category of solar flares and can cause considerable disruption on Earth. This time around, space weather experts warned the blast was enough to disrupt radio and navigation signals in North America. It was measured as an R3 blackout on a scale that runs from 1 to 5, which meant that areas in the U.S. and Canada, as well as the Pacific Ocean, were at a risk of having radio signals and navigation disrupted. Since it's summertime, the North Hemisphere is pointed towards the sun, so we're going to get those solar flares or hit with them the most. But no harm, no foul. We'll keep on rolling. Hopefully nobody's radio got messed up. Oh, come on, phone. You can do it. We got more stories. We got more news. The Voyager 2 probe. Oh, it was a car. Darn it. Lots of shiny new cars driving by, but no motorcycles. I rode my motorcycle today, but oh golly, I've had to shift my working hours. I come in later. I still overslept, but I've been trying to come in later because it's so hot. It's hard to ride my motorcycle because by the riding home, the road is so hot that when you set your foot down on the ground, it's very warm. It's like if you've made a pizza in the oven at home and you pull it out with a towel, you pull the pan out. It's like that, but with your shoe. Like you, when you step and you put your foot down on the ground, it feels like you're holding a hot pan. And it's just, it's very uncomfortable. It doesn't burn you, but it is uncomfortable. Anyway, the Voyager 2, we thought we wouldn't be able to get full contact and control back. But guess what? We did it. We just had to spam a broader spectrum to do it. That's right. NASA's back in full contact with Voyager 2 probe months earlier than expected. A signal was picked up on Tuesday, but thanks to an interstellar shout, a powerful instruction, its antenna is now back facing Earth. NASA had originally pinned hopes on the spacecraft resetting itself in October. It took 37 hours for Mission Control to figure out if the interstellar command had worked, as Voyager 2 is billions of miles away. Staff used the highest power transmitter to send a message to the spacecraft and timed it to be sent during the best conditions so the antenna lined up with the command, Voyager project manager Suzanne Dodd told AFP. So this is wild to think about because they're not shooting. It was 2 degrees off, but it's billions of miles away. Imagine how bad your shot is 2 degrees off when you shoot an arrow or a gun at like 100 yards. Now think about that times like tens of billions of meters. It's just amazing. Anyway. Voyager 2 is the only spacecraft ever to fly by Neptune and Uranus, while Voyager 1 is now nearly 15 billion miles away from Earth, making it humanity's most distant aircraft. Once both spacecraft run out of power, sometime after 2025, they will continue roaming throughout space. Fortunately, we won't be able to talk to them anymore, because they won't have any juice, but they'll still be on their mission, they'll still be flying through space, so it would be kind of if anybody finds them, they'll find the cool disc with the music and stuff on it. So that'll be cool. All right, what else is happening? Well, there's more space, or there's other news, nuclear news. I didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday. Our fusion yield has gone up. U.S. scientists responsible for a historical nuclear fusion breakthrough say they've repeated the feat, this time achieving a greater yield of energy. We can confirm the experiment produced a higher yield than the December 2022 experiment. They didn't disclose specific figures yet, but the lab planned to report the results in an upcoming scientific conference in a peer-reviewed publication. The Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory stunned the world when it announced it carried out an experimental nuclear reaction that put out more energy than was put into it. Nuclear power plants around the world currently use fission instead of fusion, and that's splitting atoms, costs fuel, burns fuel, all that jazz. And the other one is that they have fusion ignition. We're running out of time. I hope you have a good day. But researchers at the National Ignition Facility at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in California. This is the same story, just a different site. Good. Whew. Please enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee. I've been Marcus with DJ Marcus with the News to Me show.